Senate Rules Committee will come to order. Today, members, we're going to deal with the update and some consideration of some Senate technology budget items. Senator Bedsel and I have met with Senator Senjum and Mr. Wolf, so they have some familiarity with this. Senator Bedsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We got into this a little bit last month at this committee meeting, but let me just briefly explain that the state government budget bill that we passed this past year had a $2.7 million for one-time appropriation for Senate technology. And then your office asked me to lead a discussion, and we've had meetings that started basically weekly, and then we tapered off a little bit as we were wrapping up our work. It started in June. Everybody in the Senate was welcome to join us. We've had a couple of members that showed up. Senator Gerlach attended a number of meetings, a few meetings with Senator Salzman, Senator Koch, and Senator Tomasoni. But we've had a lot of staff who have attended them, both partisan and nonpartisan. And we've worked through a number of issues trying to identify the needs. And all the way through, I indicated that what we wanted to do with the Rules Committee is to lay out what your options are, but make some recommendations here, too. The spreadsheet you have before you does lay out some proposals here, but I have to go in a little bit of detail on some of them and explain what they are. And in some cases, the options are not necessarily reflected here. As you go down this, the spreadsheet, the top item says switching equipment. The switching equipment is basically electrical equipment that we would need for a new telephone system and also to make wireless capability so that people can use their laptops in various meeting rooms. We do have wireless right now in a number of Senate meeting rooms. We need to have that upgraded. We also need to coordinate with the House of Representatives because the wireless issue comes up really at conference committee time when we have our staff with their laptops over in House rooms, and the House has its laptops over in Senate rooms, and our staff needs to have access to the data that they need in order to assist the conference committees. There are really two possible ways to go here. What the proposal you have before you is for Quest and Cisco switching equipment, although they're in and you can see the numbers here. There is a different vendor, Extreme, and they currently do provide the switching equipment for the Minnesota Senate. They have a proposal of it's lower. It's about $136,000. But there's been a number of other meetings beyond this technology group that I've had that have involved Senate, House of Representatives leaders, the Revisor's Office, as well as the LCC. And the recommendation that seems to have emerged from all these meetings over the summer is that we would probably want to go with the Quest Cisco switching equipment for a number of reasons, compatibility particularly, and the switching over with the other bodies, as well as the ability to particularly with a new phone system to make them compatible. There's also some cost issues in here too, that if all the Senate, the House, the LCC all have the same switching equipment, there are some discounted savings that Quest can offer to us, which would not be available if we do not go that direction. Let me go through the spreadsheet, and as I say, there's just a lot of technology details here.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Bitzel, do these numbers reflect the discounted savings, or are you talking about discounted savings in the ongoing operations?
These are the ongoing operations. Yeah.
So I presume this equipment is a not just an initial acquisition, but it's also a service, or that
yes, these would include the savings.
These numbers include the savings.
Yes. Under this. If you go down here now, actually, if we can skip down to VoIP phone system.
What's VoIP stand for?
Voice over Internet Protocol phone system. Currently, we're paying for $40 per telephone that we have in the Minnesota Senate, and the cost is going up because of the outdated equipment, the outdated thing that we have here. if we go to a new system, which actually the House already has, you can see that there's ongoing savings. It would start in 09 further. We would be paying not quite $7, but about $6 per phone, as opposed to the 40 plus that we're currently paying for our telephones. So by going to a new system and by joining with the House on the same switching equipment, both for the wireless and the VoIP, there would be some savings in here. We would still get savings if we stayed with the extreme switches that we have, or stay with the vendor that we have now. Just the other savings for the other bodies would not be there. The discounts that they would be looking for would not be there as well, too. As I say, there have been other meetings beyond the one our technology group has, and their recommendation, meeting with the House, meeting with the LCC and the Senate, has been the recommendation to go with the Quest Cisco switches. Okay, but the switching equipment determines the phone system as well as the wireless capability, which you see a bit further down on the proposals. Now, the switches have to be determined first, and then after the switching equipment is installed, then we can talk about servers because it has to go in that particular order. We have servers that are out of warranty right now, some massive wires and everything like that. We do need to upgrade our servers. I believe that as recently as this morning our servers crashed, which meant that we had a difficulty people getting email system. That has to be upgraded. But we have to go in that order, switches first, then servers. And we're getting into a time crunch here in order to have everything done by the start of the 08 session. It's going to take about a month or so to get the switching equipment ordered, some time to get it installed. Then we have to have the servers ordered and that installed. And as I say, just if we make a decision today, we should be able to get it all done before the start of the 08 session. If we delay it much longer, I don't know. As I say, we could go into the 08 session. Servers not working as well as we want them to. We don't need them crashing. And during the session is when the servers get the highest use because of all the internet traffic and everybody using them. So that covers the switches, the servers, the voiceover, and the telephone system. Let me also comment on the
Senator phone. Betzel, one sec. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Betzel, you started your presentation by indicating that there was some one-time money appropriated in the State Department's bill. And so I understand, you know, discussing this column with one-time purchases in it. But then on the other side, there are ongoing costs associated with these purchases. And so I just wanted to know if those ongoing costs are already covered in our budget or if they would be in addition to the ongoing costs that we have in our budget.
Actually, but if you look down to the bottom line, by going to the voice over internet protocol, that saves money. So we will have some ongoing costs, but we save money with that, so it's actually going to cost us less by having the new phone system.
Okay, thank you.
Let me make a comment on the phone system. The majority leader asked me to look into the possibility to have the phone system installed by the time the 08 session starts. I think for most members, they would not notice a difference. They'd pick up the phone. It would still seem to work the same with the new equipment. I think for our staff, there would be a lot of options that they would be able to have, whether it's speed dial, have memory, they'd be able to have in there. However, in talking to Quest, there's really no guarantee we can have a new phone system installed and up and running by the start of the 08 session. They'd still be doing some installation and so forth. Every recommendation that we've received is that we should install the switching equipment to make it VoIP ready, but to hold off until after the end of the 08 session to actually have new telephones installed. So we can get the equipment ready to go. It's just that it probably is biting off a little bit more than we can handle to get new telephones in here by the start of the 08 session, given the time frame that we're at.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson. Mr. Chairman, Senator Bissell, will the benefits of the new switching equipment be operational with the current phone system, or will that not
Yes. And as I say, we have to go in that order. We have to get the switching equipment installed. That'll make the wireless upgrading our wireless capability there. It will still give us the opportunities to get the discounts down the road. Except that as long as we have these old phones, we're still going to be stuck in paying a higher cost for them until we switch over to a new phone system.
Okay.
Personal computers. We've got two categories here. We have a number of staff members, particularly researchers, partisan and nonpartisan, who have very old computers, short battery life. They just don't work very well. That is a very high priority to get them new computers, and we can order them and get them in their hands probably by the end of this year. We've identified about 70 people, again, that mainly researchers and committee staff who actually have to take minutes at committee meetings who probably could use the new laptop computers. They would be purchased at a discount through the Department of Administration. They have programs by which we could take advantage of that. And as I say, we've identified the people that we believe, you know, are in most need of having these new laptops. The members is a different line here. It says 66. The reason why it says 66 is because one member already has a new laptop. We could switch that around, but we just have to count the ones that are out there.
So who's that?
Sarah Bensel's taking a cheap shot.
Yes.
One day a new laptop showed up on my desk. So, and he wants to keep pointing out that I have a new laptop.
But we can work around these numbers.
Thank you, Senator Bensel.
Sure. The members' laptops are about 5 years old. They're and they get various amounts of use. Some members never use their laptops. Some bring them from their office to the floor and back to their office. Some use them a lot, especially outstate members, you know, who bring theirs at home at night. Some bring them on traveling and so forth. Frankly, we're kind of at the end of being able to come up with spares. One member's laptop failed, and they had to, I think, take Mr. Flavin's laptop and give him a new one and use his to give to that member. What we might be able to do, we can either purchase new member laptops right now, or we could hold off on purchasing new member laptops and maybe use some of the staff laptops that are still around there, salvage them, and then hold that off. But we can't really hold out that much longer. Now, we've run into one little glitch here in the fact that we had some member laptops available for test driving for use. And you can either have one that's wider than the ones we currently have, a bit heavier, or smaller, lighter. My original thinking was we should buy the same type for all members so that we don't have people complaining, why did I get this and not that. We did take a survey, and we had about, 30 members that responded. And guess what? Half of them want the wider ones, and half of them want the smaller ones. So there really isn't a clear idea what we want for members' laptops. Now, when you put your laptops on your desk, a wider one means you're going to have less space. But some members say, I want the wider ones because, you know, I want to be able to see the stuff. Others want it smaller because they can carry it. I think we may need to talk about this a little bit more. It's possible we can buy half of each, some wider, some smaller, and then let members identify which ones they want. We do have to be cognizant of the fact that whatever we buy here is probably going to carry us through the next election cycle. So I don't want to lock us in so that who's ever here right now is going to be deciding which top laptop their successor is going to get. But we can certainly do it either way. We can buy all the same type. We can buy mix and match. But member laptops really are at the end of their life cycle, and we do have to think about getting new laptops. A higher priority is getting on staff ones that really don't have none right now, but we do have to talk about member laptops probably sooner than later. We have a couple of options here. Some staff, fiscal staff, need the wider screens when they're working at their desks, and monitors are coming down in price. Some staff just simply need laptops with larger memories, and so we would have the ability to buy some with more memories.
For instance, the ones who do arts and graphics, they need much more memory. Some who do just a lot of spreadsheets.
Sir Bedsell, you may be giving us a little more detail than
yes,
we need.
But I want you to explain what the numbers are here. So that deals with the laptops. I've already talked about the wireless upgrades in our committee rooms. The sound reinforcement system is the committee rooms. We need to really upgrade and replace some of the speaker systems that we have in the committee rooms we have, as well as on the floor. And we have a particular problem because of the BlackBerry phones.
Senator, I think that's a level of detail members don't need.
That's what the $95,000 is, just upgrading the sound systems, including the static that we get from the laptops currently. Okay? So that's the sound system. Media services you've already dealt with at your last meeting. They're getting switching equipment. You can see in the out years we are going to expect some expenditures on digital TV equipment.
We've done the 142 and the 180.
Mm-hmm. See, in future years we're going to be back doing some more. Okay. Photography, David Oakes needs to buy some new cameras. We'd also talked about buying new printers. He's at the end of the life cycle. He thinks for $2,000 he can keep the current printer going. At some point, we're going to have to revisit that. The voting board.
Well, let's just pass that on right now. Let's get this other stuff. We'll come back to that.
Human services, we don't really have a specific proposal right now because we just got four proposals in last week. The issue right now is that we do everything on paper as far as timesheets. A lot of staff has an interest in being able to track their leave, their comp time, everything. Everybody's paid on salary in the Senate. So, but of course, they work the hours during the session and they carry them over. The staff has a strong interest in being able to be able to track, being able to do this electronically through electronic timesheets. There are a couple of proposals out there. There will be some ongoing costs there. We assume around $6,000 per year for that, which is not reflected in the spreadsheet. But the bids just came in, and Dan Boomhauer's not had sufficient time to go through them and make recommendations. So we got to come back to you on this one. This one is not dependent upon the start of the 08 session, so we can take a look. Copier replacement.
So, Senator Bedsell, is that so? On the one-time timesheet, $6,000 per year, is that a mistake down the line there? Was the international roll call $6,000 per year too? Okay, so we should add
$6,000.
$6,000 for this line too in the out years. Okay, go ahead.
But we don't have a proposal yet because we have to look at the four stations that came in.
Okay.
Copy replacements, there's a few photocopiers that, frankly, I need to be replaced.
So we need to do that. Scan to file.
This is the ability to do scanning on copy equipment. It's already there. It's being installed so that you can take a document and scan it into the copier. Fiscal would like to have a color copier, so that's put in here too. So that basically sums up some of the recommendations.
Okay, so today the ones that you would like to go forward with are?
Switching equipment.
The 299, the 27, and the 18.
Yes.
Servers, the 224.
Phone system.
The VoIP, 141. The staff laptops, 70 of them, at 97. The LCD monitors, the 1 gig and the 2 gig. So not the member laptops right now, those others. The Cisco 45.
Yes.
The sound reinforcement, the 95.
Yes.
The two photography ones?
Yes.
Media and photography?
Those are...
No, the media services ones, we're doing nothing new there right now. That we did the 142 and the 180 previously.
All right, okay, gotcha.
Chamber we'll come back to. I think there's an understanding that we will do an online timesheet. You're just not in a position to tell us what that is yet.
We got to look at the vendors and the numbers and come back to you.
And the idea would be to get that done prior to session.
It's not dependent on the session or some of the other ones are.
But that is being worked on. We're trying to find the appropriate system.
So we'll be back on that one.
Copiers, the 28 you want to do now?
Yes.
The 8700?
Yes.
And the color print, the 599?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
So that is a motion by Senator Clark. Senator Clark?
I'd actually like to modify my motion.
Okay.
I think we should move forward on the member ones giving the authority. I think that it's a level of detail this committee doesn't need to deal with, whether it's the wider or smaller or half and half. But you may have a new laptop, but some of us need a new laptop. So
well,
if they don't expend all the money.
The issue is actually a little different than that. There's some concern that just buying everybody a new laptop is not a very smart expenditure.
Well, and again,
because a lot of members don't use them.
What I was going to say is they don't need, if we authorize up to that amount, they do not need to expend the whole amount. So I think that the committee could determine what is actually needed in terms of purchasing, but otherwise they have to wait to come back to us to go ahead and make that decision. And since we seem to have a hard time getting everybody together, I mean, I agree if we don't need to get them for everybody, we shouldn't. But
why don't we cut the amount in half, up to $50,000?
I would be happy to put that in my motion.
Under the laptops?
Spend up to $50,000?
Right.
On member laptops.
On member laptops. Senator Senjum and I will monitor that. Senator Clark, thank you, Senator Bedsell, for getting me in trouble. I walk in one day and I have this laptop on my desk. I didn't ask for it.
It was a setup.
It was a setup, apparently. Senator Clark, do you need a new laptop?
I do. The battery keeps dying. No. But I think that there's other people who probably do, too. And I just know the committee spent a lot of time. 5 years is a long time. And I do believe there are people who don't use their laptops,
okay, well,
so they may not really need it.
I just want to clarify for the record, whatever resentment is there exists out there that I have a new laptop, please don't blame me.
Oh, trust me, that's not coming from me. But
All right.
But I think it's easy to go ahead and make then the decision, Mr. Chair, not to do anybody else's when one already has one. That was my only point.
Take a survey. Again, some members really are in need of them, and we'll just have to just figure out who they are. So.
I mean, what you want to do is avoid a situation where a member says, well, everybody else got one, so I want one,
whether
they use it or not.
And Mr. Chair, my only point was I think the committee has been doing a good job assessing what's actually needed, and that's why I was saying up to.
Really?
Okay,
so Clark then also puts up to 50 on the members. Does that work in our budget here? We're still good, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. So on that motion, discussion. Anybody want to add anything?
What about the voting board?
Okay. We're not doing the voting board right now. Does anybody in the audience want to add anything? Okay, so on the Clark motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Okay, voting board. Senator Bedsell.
Let me describe, and we talked about this a little bit last month, but let me just kind of reiterate some of the major points. The current board is old. 1982 was installed. It's a one-of-a-kind system. We're fortunate that nothing is broken, nothing has failed. However, it does have a computer system that's Windows 95. It's actually a DOS program. If anything breaks, whether it's the buttons that we press on the member's desk, there are no replacements. If something breaks at the podium or the secretary opens the board and so forth, something breaks there, we may have to go to voice votes because there just isn't anything to replace it. There is one company out there that provides an international roll call. Now, at your last meeting, you asked us to get further information to see if we could have it done, a one-of-a-kind system built by somebody else. So we did put a request for information out. We received them. I really don't know that there's much more that we can provide to you. There was an individual who, based upon the information he had, he was able to suggest it for about $250,000. He could probably put something together, but there are some other tentative costs in there and so forth. I still believe now, Mr. Flavin and Mr. Greenwald apparently have been in touch with International Roll Call. They got rid of some of the things that we really don't need as far as our system goes. So they can upgrade it. They've told us that if they have the commitment by November, they can have it ready to go by the 08 session. But once they start working on it, they have to work to completion. So this is not something that we can put off any further. If we go past any longer, we're really going to have to talk about the 09 session.
So members, in some informal discussions, Senator Senjum and I and Senator Bedsold, the thought was that we would get a couple site visits here real quick and maybe see what these look like in some a couple of the other states real quick. Nothing elaborate, but just a quick check and see if we can make a decision before November for this following session.
November starts this week. Should before that?
Well, in the next couple of weeks, basically.
Okay,
do this.
Before November is over.
Yeah. And there's no immediate urgency to do this, but this has been kind of kicking around for several years, and at some point we need to just go ahead and do something. And I think the general sense is that it's safest to go with this group that is doing for everybody so that you've got some longevity here. They're in 30 or 40 states. Even though it will cost us more to do that.
Do our neighboring states have them?
I think Iowa, some do, yes.
Iowa, Wisconsin. Kansas is probably closest to what you would need, and they're installing theirs within the next 2 weeks.
And there was original concern that this is a visual issue in the body that's really going to upset members. And then we went and looked historically, and we went and looked at what we currently have, and surprisingly what we currently have is not that interesting. And so I think the concern has come down on that a little bit, but we do want to just get a sense of what they're doing in these other states before we make this kind of purchase. But I think there's a tendency here to want to kind of go ahead with this if we can before the session. But we want to move slow enough so that members, you know, this is something that members would be concerned about one way or the other, what it looks like and so forth. And we want to, it would fit in the same slot, but it would more be like a TV screen than what we currently have. So it would have a different look. But what we have up there currently is not as historically significant as some of us would have thought. There's actually been marble removed and stuff to put in what we currently have. And it's kind of, I don't want to say it's cheap looking, but if you look closely, yeah, it's not really that neat what we have up there. So please, members, when you walk in, you should walk in the chamber and just take a look-see, because at some point in the next few weeks, we may come back and round robin real quick. Here's what this would look like. And I think what we'd like to do is maybe get permission to go ahead with this tentatively, and then if we round robin it in a way that people are comfortable with, the senior members, then go ahead with it, because we may not be able to get rules back together before that decision. If people are uncomfortable with that, we can wait, make sure we get rules back together, or wait until after next session. But it just seems that this has been kicking around, and maybe we should try to, if we can, move it along. Senator Bach, what do you think?
I'm fine. Kind of like looking at the lights versus looking at some electronic X's on my name or something, but I don't know what the new one looks like.
Well, it'll look similar, but it'll be a TV screen rather than a those separate lights like that.
A flat screen TV?
Yeah. It'd be like a flat screen TV where they can basically program what it looks like. So it will look different.
I think I've seen that.
But it will give them a lot more flexibility in terms of what they put up. They could put in English what some of the things are that we're doing instead of the codes and instead of the abbreviations, they might actually be in words.
It's actually not going to be so much of a TV screen, although that technology exists. It'll look very similar to what you have, the same space, that same black thing. This is the biggest cost that we have right now. The voting boards right now, if you open up those panels, it's just a mess of wires and little light bulbs that they can't even find and so forth. And every time they open it up, then three more lights go out so that they have to – the maintenance is really difficult. What would replace it would be, again, a black – display that would be on both sides of the chamber above the doors. When they program it, would be very similar to what you see right now with the names on there. It'd be red and green coming up there. There would have more information instead of CS. It's a call of the Senate. We could actually put some more information on so people can read it up there. But some of the debate has been going on saying it would be cheaper to put a TV screen in there, but it only have a life of about 2 years, whereas what we're going to talk about here is going to be about 20 years. So, regardless of what we do here, and I got to stress this, we were able to buy a system in 1982 that lasted us for 25 years. There will be ongoing costs, no matter what we do here, to maintain whatever we put in there, and that's just part of the way things have changed technology.
Sarah Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I think at the last meeting I was one of the people that asked some questions about this, and my questions have been answered, and I believe moving ahead with the, even though it's more expensive, the more reliable system would probably be the best thing to do.
I think it's a little safer. It clearly can be done technologically. It can be done cheaper. The question is,
who do you call? You
know, who do you call? You
know, when it fails, yeah.
So Senator Berglund then moves that we go ahead with a that 396 number and kind of work with that, and I'll work closely with Senator Senjum. And if we get close to making a final decision, we'll round robin a little bit to make sure members are comfortable. Senator Metzen had left the building. I wanted to make sure he was comfortable, but. We absolutely, Senator Senjum and I will absolutely not go ahead if we get a sense that people just aren't comfortable with the look of it or something, because we can wait. But we have been talking. I think Mr. Flavin's had this before the Rules Committee for 6 or 8 years. So, all right. So on the Berglund motion, the 396 up to 396, with those caveats. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Senator Bedsole, is that everything for today? Okay. Was there just this bridge thing or something else? Wasn't there a worker?
Yes, the MAC.
There's a MAC recommendation.
To allow
Ms.
There was
Ms. Helgen.
Yeah, there was the MAC has met and had talked about changing.
No. Management Advisory Committee of the Senate.
Which includes Dan Wolf, myself, Mr. Flavin, Joanne Zoff, Faye Sparks. Anyway, the recommendation was to allow comp time for staff to be used. Right now, the operating principle has been it has to be used within the year, so it would have to be used by January 1st. But since the session doesn't start till February 12th, the MAC has made a recommendation that the comp time could be used up until 1st of February, basically, assuming people need to get back a couple weeks ahead of time to have things in place for session, but to allow staff to use their comp time up until February 1st rather than through December 31st.
And everybody on the MAC is...
Everyone on the MAC has agreed.
Okay. Is there any reason we wouldn't want to do this?
No, I think it seems like it makes sense.
What's the appropriate motion?
The motion would be to allow staff to use comp time up until, you could just say, 10 days prior to the start of session. And then that actually would carry on through... for us for the next years to allow this in the off session when it begins later, to allow people to use it up until maybe say a week before the start of session would probably be a good motion.
Senator Clark moves to adopt the MAC recommendation that is part of a larger document here. Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Wolf has been kind enough to provide a copy of the current policy, which says that the time must be used by December 31 of the year in which it was accrued. So we might change that to say must be used no later than 10 days before the start of the next regular session. Or before the start of the next regular session. Mm-hmm.
Say, I would think February 1st. I mean, I've been in a situation where my staff has been on vacation right before the session starts, and it's difficult. So we don't start the day we start. We start before we start to be ready on the day we start.
So what would you like it to say?
February 1st.
Well, that's what I was saying a week. But.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, this might be just a change for this 1 year only, not a change in the permanent policy.
Mr. Flavin.
I'm thinking that in some years, our odd year session starts second or third of even year starts the second or third of
January. Right. I thought that's all we were doing was.
This would be a permanent change.
A permanent change?
Or you could make it just a one-time change so that next year then it would be December 31st again because session starts January 5th.
Why don't we make it a one-time change?
That's what I was thinking.
And February 1st, does that work for the MAC?
Yes.
Senator Berger, because we come back what day?
The 12th.
Okay. So a sentence will be added for this coming year only.
Okay.
To that effect. Okay. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion adopted. Members, and the last item is three things have been handed out. We appointed this Joint Bridge Investigation Committee, and they have requested, this first document is what they have requested. They've requested the legislative leadership to establish a working group of members to hire outside professional assistance and authorize funding if needed, and establish a regular reporting accountability plan. Based on that, Senator Murphy did approach my office and describe what they wanted to do, and that has also happened in the House, the Speaker's office. The Speaker and I have been in some discussions about how we would approach this, and then we received the Fishbach letter. It's not just Fishbach. It's Fishbach, Severson, and Koch, which is a pretty good letter, except for a couple little shots. But generally, it's a good letter that describes that we ought to do this right if we're going to do this. And so based on that, Speaker and I set in motion a discussion with the nonpartisan staff about how we would go about this, what would be the appropriate way to do this. And the third document, draft proposal for investigation and hiring of staff, is what has come out of that. And the word draft is important. This was done last week, and it was done by the nonpartisan staff. In the Senate, Mr. Watson worked on it. In the House, Mr. McCormick,
Joel Michael.
And so... This is a draft. Purpose of this meeting is just to have this for you to look at, think about. We want to make sure that if we hire additional staff or temporary staff, we do it in a way that is appropriate for the Senate. And you want to ask the threshold question, do we need additional staff? Could this be done internally? I think the nonpartisan staff believes, based on the request of the working group or the investigative committee, that probably what they're asking for is maybe a little much for our existing staff, and that they believe that it would be helpful to have some additional resources for this particular purpose. And so I just wanted to get that out in public for members of the Rules Committee to look at this. The source of funds would be the contingency in the Senate budget, and we do have money in the Senate budget that if the carry forward, we could use some of that money for this purpose. A little bit of history, and there may be other examples, but when I chaired the Tax Committee, we were given authority to hire a outside consultant. And I believe the figure was $10,000. And we hired a professional to help us work on some very complicated tax policy. And the way that was handled was the lead Republican, Senator Blanger, and I worked on a draft of what we were looking for. And we knew the kind of person that would get that job done. And so we did pretty much know who we wanted to hire. But we worked that through a process, checked with tax committee members. People were comfortable. This is when we hired Deb Anderson to do a little work. And so at that point, Senator Belanger basically and I were in position. We were given the authority, because it was a smaller amount, to basically hire the person, supervise the person, and that worked very fine. We got good work product. This is probably a little larger amount than that, and so I don't know exactly if I have the authority to do this or not. So what I want to do is get it before the Rules Committee, have you start to think about it, look at it, and then I want to do what makes most sense for the Senate. We would very much like this to be a bipartisan approach, if we could. We will have to figure out, I mean, we are dealing jointly with the House on this, and so that adds a complexity. But as you read this, you will see the general approach is to not duplicate the work of these other investigative groups, the NTSB, the legislative auditor, or the governor has hired a Weiss Janey, not to duplicate that work, but to appropriately either cover some of that in addition to what the legislative interests are, and that's what this tries to describe. And that the hire would generally, the screening would be kind of done by the nonpartisan staff, but with a sign-off, the actual hire then done by a combination of the two chairs, Murphy and Bernie Leader, the two lead Republicans, which would be on the Senate side, that is Youngbauer, I think it's Magnus in the House. And then I thought it was important to have at least the finance chair, Senator Cohen, and maybe even Senator Betzold, because he does the division, at least have them part of that final decision. Because it would be internal Senate money. All of this is tentative. I am telling you what I know so that you can think about it. I absolutely understand that this is potentially fraught with partisan tinges. We're talking about a bridge collapsed. This is an investigative group that wants to kind of get to the decision-making process and so forth, all that. I absolutely understand that. But what I'm asking members to do is to step back and say, okay, regardless of whether this is a Democratic legislature or Republican governor, isn't there an oversight function that's legitimate here that we generally have to do our job? And if people come to that conclusion, then I would like to do it in a way that people were comfortable with so that it is not a partisan activity. It is a activity of our committees that is an important oversight function that's necessary and appropriate. So I don't know if there's anything I want to add, Michelle. And the speaker has made no final decisions. She is working down the same path. She's seen this document. She's aware of this. But we are trying to work with the House to see if this is doable in a way that makes sense. And that's all today was, to just kind of get it out in public here so that people are aware. This is what set it in motion, the request by the Murphy Bernie Leader Committee for the leadership to allow them to hire some staff. Okay? So please, members, whatever your initial reaction is, please think about it. If you think it's a great idea because you think someone might find a smoking gun, step back from that and think through that. If you think it's a bad idea because you think it's partisan, step back from that and think through it. Because I do think there's a legislative responsibility in this area, and we need to think through it and do it in a thoughtful way. Okay, anything else? Mr. Flava, were there other examples of hiring outside people? There are, I know.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, one that came to mind when you talked about yours was a prison study.
Okay.
That we did some years back. Senator Merriam proposed that, and we did the same thing. We used carry forward money to pay for, I think it was a joint prison study. It was a hot issue at the time. And there have been other issues over the years. They're not frequent, but they are usually major issues that emerge and are there for a time and then disappear.
Mr. Watson, you pointed out another one.
Back in the 1997 or thereabouts, when we were working on various proposals for a baseball park for the Twins, we hired a consultant through a process.
Just Senate, or was it House and Senate?
It was Senate and House, and there was an oversight subcommittee, and we solicited resumes from people that we heard of as being sort of in the business It wasn't a public solicitation. It was targeted to specific firms, and the staff reviewed the qualifications, and the oversight committee picked somebody and went ahead.
Senator Sinjum.
Just a comment as you think about this. And it kind of just occurred to me, this certainly could be viewed as a partisan initiative and maybe be viewed as less partisan if, in fact, the committee was equally divided. I mean, that bridge was not a Republican bridge or a Democratic bridge. It was a bridge. As the report would come forward, I think it would come forward with a lot more credibility if again, we took the partisanship out of this completely and did make it an equally divided committee.
Let's think about it. Think about that.
Is that reformatting the existing investigative committee? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, if we have it. Because, you know,
right now it's
political football, you know? Let's take the politics out of it.
What is it right now?
Five
Dems, three Repubs? On both sides, House and Senate?
Yeah. This is
Just
a thought.
Okay. So that's for members' information, and we will try to. And again, I don't know whether. I basically haven't examined whether I have the authority to do this as majority leader. I didn't want to start there. I presume the speaker has the authority.
This is about as touchy a one as we've ever had to deal with. So.
Well, I wonder.
There's a lot of complications.
Right. And I think from a Senate perspective, regardless how the House approaches, from the Senate perspective, I would like to, as best we can, try to do it in a way that's respectful of a long-term, how would this go if you did it 10 years from now in a different circumstance. So I just think we need to think through that. And it's not, the professional staff has also been kind of trying to muddle through that too, because it's not so clear. And it does depend on what you're ultimately asking the product to be. And it's complex. I would hope people would think through it as best they could. So, okay. Anything else? Do we have any plans? Do we think there'll be another Rules Committee maybe in December sometime? Or
do we need to approve the budget for find out what the budget's going to be? Rules Committee was going to be sending money to the CC.
Oh, obviously, if we, on this.
Right.
Okay, so you think the Rules Committee will need to act on any transfer of money. I probably do not have the authority to do it.
Well, I don't know.
I'm asking, Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that there's not authority, but the proposal here, this draft proposal, does call for the budget to be approved by the House and Senate Rules Committees and the money to be sent then to the LCC, who would pay the bills. So at this point, it's anticipating this process of hiring somebody will be done in a couple of weeks. So we might be looking at a Rules Committee meeting in a couple of weeks.
I see.
But Mr. Flavin, when we have in the past, there is a standard procedure for the Senate and House to transfer money to the LCC for various purposes. And I don't think that's always required a Rules Committee vote. In fact, most of the time, I don't think it has. But perhaps you could refresh our memories on what the process has been in the past.
Well, we don't do it often. I know that it has been done without formal Rules Committee approval. There was some transfers to the revisor's office. There was one transfer to the auditor's office. There was another transfer to the LCC for the purpose I've forgotten. And also, there have been several times where the leadership has simply returned money to the general fund. That's when the carry forward was much larger than it is now, or when there was a budget crisis. So I think there's plenty of precedent for our leadership making that transfer. So I guess it's really up to the leadership or up to the Rules Committee to decide which way they want to go on this.
Okay, well, members, what I would like to do is just work down. I want to do this as in a way that members are comfortable with, if we can. And again, we have this complication of the House. So bear with me a little. I will stay in contact, and hopefully we can do this. I have no problem with trying to bring it through the Rules Committee if we can. But I do not want to predispose how the House might approach it. That's their body. They can do whatever they want.
Well, I guess I would argue that we try to reconvene the Rules Committee. I mean, this is going to be a very high-profile report that's sent back to us, and I don't think we want to lead anybody to believe that leadership went off on this. It should probably be a public process where we move money around to pay for it, I think. As a precedent thing, I mean.
Well, the only flip side of that is I don't want to set a precedent that makes it impossible for future leaders to do like that $10,000 thing that the tax committee had done. But yes, this right. is very high visibility. I would like to do this in a way that people are comfortable. And that's why I'm putting out this information. I want we're in process here. Decisions haven't been made.
In this case, I think there's going to be a report generated. In the case of Deb Anderson, who's actually just working on drafting some legislation for the tax chairs, so it's a little different.
Okay. Point well taken. So I think, obviously, I want to err on the side of bringing it here before the Rules Committee as best as we can. So, okay. Anything else? Meeting adjourned. Thank you, members.
Were you up there?
Yeah. Both for our school transformers. Oh, yeah. Also, the...